So, question. What's on your bucket list for summer 2013? Here are a few of your suggestions. We'll start with Kurt Kolecka, who has quite a list. Kurt says, 1, find an ESL job for fall at one of the Boston high schools. 2, finish writing that book, finally. And 3, manage a 50-mile bike ride in one day. Now on Facebook, Brian McCurdy says, help my wife pass the Florida bar exam. Eric Jordan has set the bar high. Eric says, I want to sell my house, move somewhere else, and hit the reset button on what I want to do with my life. And Jen Holmgren is one of many who wants, quote, lots and lots and lots of trips to the beach. So for the next few minutes, we're going to take you to the beach for a look at the state of one stretch of America's coastline, which has undergone massive change, the New York and New Jersey shoreline. WNYC reporter Janet Babin has been traveling the length of it. Janet, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, welcome. So, Janet, where have you been? What have you seen?
Well, Todd, we've been up the Jersey Shore from Seaside Heights to points north, up through places like Long Beach, New York, and then up the South Shore of Long Island to communities in the Great South Bay. And then we went up through the Tony Hamptons all the way to the tip of Long Island to Montauk, known as the End.
So you've covered pretty much the length of the New York and New Jersey Shore. We're going to talk about the economy in a minute. But we should remind people just how much has changed physically. Much of that you can see easily with the naked eye, and some of it you can't. Here's part of your reporting from Long Beach, which you just mentioned. It starts with you talking to a local surfer. Listen.
How is it out there?
Beautiful.
Yeah?
The water's getting warmer. The waves are small, but perfect for learning.
Surf students and other visitors will notice the topography on Long Beach has changed since Sandy. The beach is now about 20 to 30 yards wider thanks to beach replenishment. Lifeguard Marvin Weiss says Sandy did damage, though, to the ocean floor.
Normally, the water, when you walk out in Long Beach, you'd walk out gradually, it would get deeper. Now it's going to get deeper all of a sudden. So you'll have a hole that you can end up being over your head.
So Janet Babin from WNYC, we're really hearing that in parts we're talking about a very different coastline from before.
Yeah, that's right. That was Marvin Weiss. This is a guy who's been a lifeguard in this community, Long Beach, New York. This is his 41st summer. So he knows this beach. He knows what Sandy did to it. And you see this up and down the coast, little changes in the topography. Things are different. Marvin Weiss told me that, you know, lifeguards are ready for this change, a deeper drop off and different breaks in the ocean from Sandy. And all up and down the coast, people are seeing these kinds of changes.
So let's talk about some of the hope versus the reality, Janet, because we've been sold an idea that things are back to normal, particularly in New Jersey, open for business. Let's hear for a minute how they're doing this, at least on television in New Jersey.
The Jersey Shore is open.
The word is spreading.
Because we're stronger than the storm.
You bet we are.
So, Janet Babin, you get to see Governor Chris Christie and his friends, whether they're actors or real friends, having fun in the sand there. But, Janet, not everything is back to normal, right? Or is it?
No, not everything is back to normal. It's really a shame because so many communities want to believe in this myth of Jersey Strong. And it's very moving. Everywhere you go, you see T-shirts with Jersey Strong and Stronger Than the Shore printed on them. But then you hit many towns, especially in the northern part of New Jersey, where time has stood still, Todd. And there are definitely changes. Appearances may be back to normal, but it's really not back to normal for many of these communities. For example, in Seaside Heights, where Governor Christie last week was opening up the new boardwalk. And the boardwalk is amazing. You know, it even has that new wood smell to it. But there are some issues. Like the town's mayor, Bill Akers, he told me he wants visitors to be ready for some of these changes from Sandy.
To be fair with our visitors, I want them to understand it. Casino Pier, while you'll have part of the pier open, the front part where the games are, things like that, a lot of the rides aren't going to be open until about the middle of July.
All right, that's a fine warning for the tourists. They don't get as many rides until the middle of July. But what about the small businesses around there? They've got to be even more concerned.
The businesses are desperate to open because on the Jersey Shore, Todd, if you miss the summer season, you pretty much miss your entire year. So we saw many businesses doing their best to open or half open. In fact, One of the hotels I stayed at, the Fairbanks in Seabright, New Jersey, it was essentially a construction zone. There were more workers than guests, but the owners wanted to open up this weekend. They opened up for 12 of their guests who have this tradition of coming every year to this hotel for Memorial Day. And in fact, some of the guests actually agreed to sleep on air mattresses because the rooms weren't completely done. But they said, hey, we're going to do it just so we can be back at our Jersey Shore spot.
So there's a lot of support from the tourists there, willing to sort of do almost the extreme in their stays there. But what about the folks who live by the coast? Not the tourists, but the people who really had their homes destroyed or their lives affected. How have they rebounded since Sandy?
Well, this is a real problem, Todd. There are towns where time has just stood still. We visited places like Ortley Beach and Manaloking where it looked the same right after Sandy. You know, down some of the beach blocks, there are homes, they look like dollhouses. They have no front or back to them. Some of the homes are off kilter and some are half standing with giant chunks missing out of them. And residents in these towns with these homes are extremely frustrated. They say their local governments are just spending all this time getting the tourists back, getting the beaches back, but they're not doing enough to help them. You know, in a town called Ortley Beach, New Jersey, there were more than 100 homes that still had to be demolished. And people in this town, Ortley Beach, are trying to get their homes back. They're trying to elevate their homes to get them up to these new flood elevation standards that they're going to have to be at if they want to get a mortgage and if they want to get flood insurance.
You know, it makes you wonder if some of the character was lost or is being lost in the reconstruction of the beaches, as charming as they always were, if they're brand new and they're not old anymore, the buildings.
That is the big fear, Todd, for many regulars. They told us, you know, with so many people unable to pay to repair their homes, they fear that a lot of chunks of the Jersey Shore are going to be, you know, auctioned off to the lowest bidder, to investors or big developers who are going to come in and change the character of beach towns. That in some cases, you know, generations of families return to these vacation spots every summer. And that's why we see these pockets where people are just adamantly supporting their beach town no matter what. In Seabright, New Jersey, where I told you we stayed at that hotel that was more like a construction zone, but we were happy to be there. You know, many of the seaside bars in that town are not back. So it used to be, you know, you'd have a tiki bar on the beach, no more. But we still had locals and visitors who were determined, and they were on the beach last week, despite the clouds, despite the chilly weather, and despite this lack of tiki bars.
Do it. Come on, polar bear plunge. Come on. January 1st, you'll jump in, but you won't jump in now.
Jump in again.
Come on.
Well, Janet Babin, if you're from Pennsylvania like me and you go to the Jersey Shore, they call you a shoeby because you bring your lunch in a shoebox, or at least you used to. So that's hope versus reality, reconstruction versus rustic feel versus history. Janet Babin is a reporter for our co-producer, WNYC. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you, Todd.
You can get full details of her reporting and much more about the state of New Jersey and New York and the shore post-Sandy at thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.